when you said that about decisions, in the 12-step recovery program, when somebody, their butt's on fire and they really have gotten to a place of just bottoming out, and they go in and they find finally the resolve and the willingness within them to actually ask a sponsor to help them. When they ask a sponsor to help them, the sponsor asks them to not make any decisions, not to make any major decisions within the first year, or to not even try to decide for themselves at all in that moment, that they need to stay surrendered. And a healthy sponsor would then turn that over to God and allow God to guide them both in the process, even if one of them is really unsure as to what to do at that point because his head is still full of stories. A healthy psychotherapist will do the same thing. A healthy psychotherapist, it just reverts us back to what Jesus talks about, the unhealed healer. The psychotherapist that knows the purpose for the joining and for the healing is not ego-based. It's not thinking, oh, well, I know all the answers, and you need to follow everything I tell you to do literally. The psychotherapist that is in his right mind will allow the Holy Spirit to guide that. And in so knowing, in his right mind, will know intuitively what to say and what to do. But he doesn't necessarily know how it's supposed to affect the patient, because the Holy Spirit in the patient's mind is doing this for him. Again, in the miracle principles, Jesus tells us that we are not to look to the effect, try to decide how the miracle is supposed to show up. We're not supposed to. And we're also not supposed to direct the miracle. So the unhealed healer would say, well, I know, and I should direct. But the psychotherapist in his right mind will allow the Holy Spirit to speak through him. Now, it's the Holy Spirit in the patient's mind that is helping him to awaken. And so all of that seeming conflict may seem to be only of the ego. But there's an interesting thing that happens, and that is that the truth is really pushing to be known. And the reason why there's conflict and why it becomes less and less seemingly reasonably peaceful is because it's up for healing. It's up for healing. And the psychotherapist who knows how healing works recognizes that. He doesn't see his patient as someone to fix. He realizes, as Wayne wrote down, that the therapist is actually helping the patient to awaken to what the truth is. And encouraging from the very start, even if you don't use words like the Holy Spirit and God or Jesus or whatever, using words like intuition or gut feeling or inner knowing, the psychotherapist can start teaching the patient to discern between the delusions of his mind and what the truth is. But again, that is up to the Holy Spirit through the psychotherapist's mind, not to project the psychotherapist's own experience onto the patient as how that psychotherapist has been healing, because everybody has their own individual curriculum. But everybody has the truth in their mind. Everybody does. And to know that about your brother when you're helping your brother is to stay in the truth and not to practice false empathy. You know, when we do our course groups, we say this thing, we are all teachers, but the one true teacher with a capital T speaks to and through each one of us. We are all psychotherapists, but the one psychotherapist with a capital P speaks to and through each one of us, heals our minds. You know, it keeps it all in the proper perspective. Okay, does anybody have anything they want to share about this section before we go on to the limits on psychotherapy? Section 2.1, the limits on psychotherapy. Yet the ideal outcome is rarely achieved. Therapy begins with the realization that healing is of the mind, and in psychotherapy, those have come together who already believe this. It may be they will not get much further, for no one learns beyond his own readiness. Yet levels of readiness change, and when therapist or patient has reached the next one, there will be a relationship held out to them that meets the changing need. Perhaps they will come together again and advance in the same relationship, making it holier. Or perhaps each of them will enter into another commitment. Be assured of this, each will progress. Retrogression is temporary. The overall direction is one of progress toward the truth. I'm going to stop for a moment and say, it is really also important that no one gets attached to the form in healing. Everything is literally to be taken until it's no longer useful. And whenever someone or some relationship is helpful, it's helpful for a point. Like in the Manual for Teachers, where Jesus talks about the levels of teaching, that everyone comes into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And so you will have a relationship that will seem to speed up your awakening and really help you to heal some of the thoughts in your mind. And we'll get to a point where it will change. Two people will seem to need to go in another direction, and it does not mean that anybody failed. It just means that the usefulness, the particular gifts of each to each other in helping them to awaken in that moment has run its course, and that there are other parts of your classroom, other teachers in the classroom that you need to join with next. To not worship anyone in it and to not get too attached to the relationship is very important. Psychotherapy itself cannot be creative. This is one of the errors which the ego fosters, that it is capable of true change and therefore of true creativity. When we speak of the saving illusion or the final dream, this is not what we mean. But here is the ego's last defense. Resistance is its way of looking at things, its interpretation of progress and growth. These interpretations will be wrong of necessity because they are delusional. The changes the ego seeks to make are not really changes. They are but deeper shadows, or perhaps different cloud patterns. Yet what is made of nothingness cannot be called new or different. Illusions are illusions. Truth is truth. And there's two things that popped out with this one. I went through a period, and I've caught other people doing this as well, where we would just think, well, I just need to change my mind. I need to think other thoughts. And in essence, it's true, but the ego will try to replace dream with dream, illusions with illusions. It will just try to replace stories with stories, thinking that it's really changing something, thinking that it's really creating. But it's not. It's just, I like how it puts it, deeper shadows or different cloud patterns, but it's still focusing on error. It's still focusing on error. Only the true shifting of the thoughts is healing, and the true shifting comes from the truth revealing itself. It's the Holy Spirit revealing what is true, because creation is just the extension of what is. And just switching from illusion to illusion is not only delay, but it's destructive to the peace. It just adds to confusion. And it does not help in any way to build trust. That is why taking your brother literally is not recommended. But learning to trust and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal through your brother what the truth is, and you will know, you will recognize when something is true. You will. There will be a sense of knowing, a sense of peace. You know when something is true. It's a settled deal. There's no longer a conflict in trying to figure it out. Resistance as defined here can be characteristic of a therapist as well as of the patient. Either way, it sets a limit on psychotherapy because it restricts its aims. Nor can the Holy Spirit fight against the intrusions of the ego on the therapeutic process. But he will wait, and his patience is infinite. His goal is wholly undivided always. Whatever resolutions patient and therapist reach in connection with their own divergent goals, they cannot become completely reconciled as one until they join with his. Only then is all conflict over, for only then can there be certainty. It is really important that we get out of the way. Before I ever work with anybody, I pray. And I don't just pray in my own mind when it is welcome. I always pray with the other person because I know that we are both listening to hear what the truth is. We both want the Holy Spirit, whatever we call it, in that moment to reveal it to us and heal our minds. So it should not be a battle between what the patient thinks and you think. If it is a battle between what they think and you think, and someone ends up inevitably in a do you want to be right or do you want to be happy mode, it should always just be that your brother is free to share while he's focusing on what the truth is and healing and processing out what's going on, and that you are listening to the Holy Spirit in your mind and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak for you, for your brother. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, for you, and for your brother, I promise you, you don't get defensive. You don't have an attachment to whether or not your brother seems to get it. And you don't need to be right. Because you don't know what anything is for. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to do it through you, and you're just trusting that the Holy Spirit is speaking for both of you. And that's it. But the therapist listening to the ego will feel like he's at war with what his brother is thinking. Ideally, psychotherapy is a series of holy encounters in which brothers meet to bless each other and to receive the peace of God. And this will one day come to pass for every quote-unquote patient on the face of this earth. For who except a patient could possibly have come here? The therapist is only a somewhat more specialized teacher of God. He learns through teaching, and the more advanced he is, the more he teaches and the more he learns. But whatever stage he's in, there are patients who need him just that way. They cannot take more than he can give for now, yet both will find sanity at last. And this last section gives me chills. I love this. Because who hasn't thought, oh, I can't help anyone. How can I help anyone? I haven't healed my mind. Who hasn't had that thought in their mind, at least at one point in their lives? Or I can't speak to anyone. I don't know anything. Everyone can help someone where they are. Again, one of the things I love about 12-step recovery is that you will have somebody who comes in and they end up getting 30 days of sobriety from alcohol abuse. And then someone comes in and they have maybe 5 hours. And a sponsor will go to 30 days and say, 30 days, go talk to 5 hours. And 30 days will say, I can't talk to him. I only have 30 days. And the sponsor, who knows, will say, you have 29 days more than your brother. You have something to share. We are all exactly where we're supposed to be. And as Jesus says in the Manual for Teachers, that people come into our life at certain times. They're supposed to. For the lessons we are to learn and for what we are to teach. And everybody is ready in that moment to hear what it is that we have to teach and what it is that we have to learn. It's so orchestrated so perfectly. It's so beautiful. My experience has been just this way, that I look back in my life and I say, wow, I remember when I used to think such and such. And yet, I remember when so-and-so was in my life, and I remember how we would talk and how it would be helpful to us both. As our minds are focused on healing, we all heal together. As we climb out of the pit of the delusions and the illusions of our stories. So I just love this. We are all truly helpful when we turn it over to the Holy Spirit. And nobody needs to be at a certain level of accomplishment. That is all of the ego that likes to measure. Measure in distance, measure in distance, measure in distance. That's of the ego. But we all have the Holy Spirit in our minds. We all have the truth in our minds. And as we awaken to the truth of who we are, we can be helpful to those who come into our lives in that moment, specifically for our curriculum as well as theirs. I'm dropping the mic for Tom and anybody else that wants to share on this. Thank you.
All right, cool. Thank you. I want to say a few things about my sort of experience with this. Now, mind you, I don't call myself a therapist, okay? But I do, however, sort of make it plain and obvious that the work I do within my own mind is the same work that I would inspire others to do in their mind. So I have experienced relationships where I'm not necessarily seen as like this person's therapist, but nevertheless, the relationship for me was and is the sharing of the Holy Spirit's voice with my brother to further my trust in it and also to help them to hear it within themselves. And I have to say that I've been very sort of, I should say successful in this, but that's the wrong word. What I mean is that it works. Sharing the Holy Spirit with others does help them to hear it in themselves. It works, okay? And so I have also experienced where there is the limit that is reached, where the relationship sort of accomplishes all that it can for that particular period of time, and then the relationship kind of falls away, or sometimes there is conflict within it. It may not be a two-sided conflict, but there is conflict, because generally the closer you come to truth and the more you are able to hear the Holy Spirit, the more psychotic your ego becomes, the more defensive it becomes, the more fearful it becomes, because it is losing its grasp on your mind and it knows this, okay? The ego can't hear the Holy Spirit, but the ego knows when you are not listening to it. And when you're not listening to it, it is going to kick your ass when you come back. So I have experienced this many times. And I have also experienced sort of how relationships, you're together, you know, you're sharing the Holy Spirit together, you're turning your minds in that direction, and you've given your relationship for that. And then there's the break. But then the relationship, after a period of time, swings around and you are ready to continue where you left off, or you're ready to continue wherever the two of you find yourselves at that moment in time. So I've experienced this many, many times, and I know I will continue to experience it for as long as I'm here. And we have to really trust our relationships to the Holy Spirit. That when a relationship seems to break or end, and even not end well, you have to trust that the Holy Spirit in both your minds still has the purpose of your reunion. Maybe not in form, but the reunion of your minds in purpose and in reality. I know for me, there have been times when I've experienced a sort of less than joyous or less than happy looking end to a relationship. But what I'm being always taught in regards to it is that I have to trust the Holy Spirit in my brother's mind, you know, that it is the healer, it is the bringer of truth. And that even if this brother seems to have denied me or projected onto me, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is there to heal his mind still, and will be there until he is no longer needed. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you. I will say goodbye now. So thank you all for coming, and we'll see you next Wednesday night.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you everyone for joining us. We are going to be posting this talk on Gentle Lessons and on Be of One Mind. And I will let you guys know when we do that.